Hello, Fife fans. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club in the daytime.
All right. I was going to say talk about Fife Club over Skype, but whatever.
Yeah, well, we can do that, certainly. Yeah.
That's it. Talk about Fife Club with a slight delay.
Are you saying that we sound like a Nirvana record?
Hey.
Or The Edge. You know.
With a lot of delay.
Yeah, he's got a lot of delay. There's no slight about his, to be fair. So.
And we're also all wankers, so it makes sense.
Yay! So, anyway, it is a sad day, Fife fans. This is the last episode of Fife Club ever. For season 3. We'll be taking a week off next week, and then back as of the 4th of May with season 4.
Hey!
You got people's hopes up, Bearcut.
We're never
I was like, I just thought I wasn't in on something, and I was like, is it?
You're so in
we're
on...
closing our doors.
Yeah, you've been invited in on the last ever episode.
In case any listeners are wondering, our seasons are determined by Kutch going on holiday, and none of us can be bothered to do all the work for it. So.
It's actually a 19-episode season, I think you'll find. Everyone's been 19 episodes so far. It just so conveniently happens that at the end of 19 episodes, I go on holiday.
Are you setting up your holidays around our episodes? That's sad, mate. That's sad.
It's convenience.
It is that classic season length, after all. Every worthwhile series has always only ever been 19 episodes.
Indeed. So, this week we are also doing it over Skype, as we've already said. It's mainly because we have our two very happy newlyweds joining us from their honeymoon destination of another desert island. So... On the Skypes with my good self Kutch today is the blushing bride, all dressed in white, which is signalling a lie because he ain't no virgin. It's Jamie.
Hello.
And he's certainly not anymore.
I'll let you know Dave touched me for the very first time.
And his blushing groom, who already has a wedding night injury in his wrist, it's Dave.
Hello.
How did you get that injury?
Maybe wanking, maybe not.
Yourself, Jamie, I mean, what was going on? Give us some details.
Just whatever was within reach. I'm not going to get into too much detail here, but let's just say that after one night together, Jamie's got broken ribs and I've got a knackered wrist. So
True. I mean, obviously, wanking me is a big task, right? And I'm not surprised people are breaking their wrists. It's a lot of tasks of anyone. Is it?
Oh, so modest.
That's it. It's because he kicks like a mule whilst you do it.
Oh, 5 minutes in and we're already talking about wanking techniques. Fantastic. So
it wasn't me that fucked your wrist at training, was it, Dave?
No, it wasn't you, man. You were good.
Training in inverted commas. So what is married life like now?
Well, it's been quite awkward for me, I have to say, because I've continued to live with my long-term girlfriend. So, I mean, like, I don't even know if she is aware of the fact that I am now married to Jamie, but I think I should probably break news to her at some point. Not saying that she'll be happy about it, but yeah, there we go. Well, just need to get over it, I suppose.
You've always got to have a bit on the side. And I mean, if Jamie's okay with that, you know.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Charlotte being your mistress.
Funnily enough, I don't think Charlotte have any problem with you being mine, so yeah, it's true.
I think she's already come to accept that.
She's all right with it. She's probably quite relieved.
So, what is it like on a different desert island?
Jamie, I'll let you take that one.
Well, you know, the problem with travelling is that wherever you go, you're always going with you and your husband, and so it's instantly shit. Our sex was pretty rough, hence, you know, we're like Klingons. It's my broken ribs and his broken wrist. But as soon as we got married, all of a sudden the sex got shite, which isn't really a surprise, you know. It happens.
The bruises on my throat are starting to heal, so I don't know what's going on.
I have bruises on my arms as well.
Bruises on your throat. Is that a wee bit of fellatio palate there going on, Dave?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to get into too much detail here, but let's just say I can't move my arms very well today and my back's quite stiff. So, yeah. You know.
Dave was dressed as Bill from Kill Bill and I was dressed as Uma Thurman. So obviously he wanted to die of auto-asphyxiation.
I'm actually just sitting here fucking ending myself with this ridiculous line of conversation.
See, this is what happens when the two of you don't turn up for an episode. We just
get married.
Yeah, you get married. We had to
remember that for next time.
Yeah, we had to have somebody get married on the island, so it was you two. That was that.
It's only fair.
Well, it's the natural choice. You know what I mean? So,
as I said, yeah. If there's any pair on the podcast that's going to accidentally slip something into somebody else, it's going to be you two. Which then means you have to get married.
Yeah.
Traditional values, that's what I'm all about.
Oh, man. So, yeah. We are here, back at Fife Club. What are we going to talk about today?
You usually tell us what we're talking about, Kutch.
I thought I would open it up to somebody else.
What we talk about first? Do you want to talk about Tess first, or do you want to talk about...
Oh, let's talk about Tess. Tess, okay. She's a lovely girl, isn't she?
She is.
Is she like Kess?
She is.
Come on, Kess, you bastard.
She's just like Tess in that she flies, and she flew on a falcon.
That's very true.
But it's NASA's new planet-finding telescope, to sort of the spiritual successor of the Kepler space probe that has found thousands of candidate planets. And TESS is a transiting exoplanet survey satellite.
All right.
And it basically looks at stars and looks for the light in front of them to dip when a planet passes in front of them. But whereas Kepler stared at one part of the sky for ages... until it broke and then had to change it. Mm-hmm. TESS is going to stare at almost the entire sky.
Wow.
So it should find lots of exoplanets close to us, which is pretty cool.
That is cool. And, is this one of the ones where they've taken the stuff that was originally aimed at the planet?
No.
No.
I think that's the Spitzer telescope.
Is it Spitzer? Right.
I think so. That's did we talk about that the other week?
I think so. I think we covered it. Covered it briefly.
So this is a different one. So this is actually this mission was this satellite was initially backed by people like Google and MIT.
All right. Okay.
As like a private thing, and I think it only cost like so Kepler cost somewhere in the region of $400 million. This is a different class mission, so it cost about $200 million.
Okay.
And about $60 to $80 million of that is the launch in the Falcon 9. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a low cost satellite, but it's going to find loads of planets and Earth-like planets close to us. Of course, the problem is that it will only see ones where the planets line up with where it's looking. Yeah. For the planet to go across, because if it's even at like above a certain angle, we won't be able to see the wobble.
You just won't see it, yeah. Yeah. I never actually considered that before. But yeah, you'd have to be.
But
going,
from that, we can, from how many it sees, we can infer how many there are in the rest of the galaxy by saying, oh, there's this much and this percentage of stars that we could see, therefore, there should be. In this many.
That's kind of cool.
So is this like our kind of our best chance at being able to find other life on other Earths then?
Yeah, well, what this will do is this will help us find ones that are relatively close to us that we can see. Mm-hmm. And then there's another telescope which has just been delayed actually because they fucked up one of the mirrors on it or one of the shades called the James Webb telescope, which is like the replacement of Hubble.
Hubble, yeah, I've seen this one, yeah.
But I think James Webb, it's either 10 or 100 times. I think it's 10 times more powerful than Hubble. I've got 100 times in my head, but that seems too much. And so what will happen is TESS will find these planets. The planets will get confirmed by probably one ground-based telescopes like ones in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And then... when James Webb goes up, and I think it's next year, it'll be able to look at the atmosphere. It's so good, it'll be able to look at the atmospheres of these planets.
Wow.
How it does it is the sun will bounce off the planet and then through the atmosphere, and they'll be able to tell through spectrometry what the atmosphere is composed of, and look for telltale signs of life.
That's amazing. Like, even from that kind of distance, that you can still do that. I mean, again, I get that you can kind of do it from, you know, do it for stars, you can do it for, you know, sort of planets in the solar system and whatnot, they've been able to do it. But even, you know, further and further away, just shows you fucking light. It's amazing.
It's fucking cool and shit.
Yeah, really fucking cool and shit.
It is, but I have to say the original description sounded like a Lemmy story. I thought I'd round it off with, like, it can see so far into the distance, it can see tiny little things and see that. That's your dad's cock. That's what I was fully expecting. But it's cool as fuck. It's quite. It's really smart, the fact that it's coming on to the point where it's just like, it can look at things that no one has a fucking clue about anywhere. So, let's see what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that we might need because, you know, we're fucking this planet, so...
Only entirely.
Yeah, I mean, let's find...
Go for it.
I was just going to say, let's find somewhere else to fuck up.
Well, there's a new thing coming on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix, or maybe an actual movie at the cinema called Titan. And the idea is that, like, yeah, that's happened. We've basically fucked a planet, so we go to live on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
So we genetically... That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Titan's, like, got fucking... It's so cold, it's got, like, lakes of methane on it and shit. It's fucking nuts.
Why would you...
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't... That's a weird one. That is a weird one.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, on the subject of fucking this planet, plastic straws and cotton buds, eh? Government's looking to put a ban on them, maybe.
One tiny ear-scratching implement at a time. That's kind of it. But I think it's a good show. Because it kind of led me down the path of thinking, like, if I was to get rid of other things, what the fuck would I get rid of? Because I've always hated anything going in my ear. That's been, like, one of my fears since I was a kid. So I'm glad to see the back of your cotton buds. Like, this shit.
Oh, wait a minute. They're not just disappearing. Just plastic ones that are going. You're going to get these paper replacements where it's, like, wound paper instead.
Although, someone was saying on news, oh, but you can't use them for smoothies. You can't use paper because they disintegrate. I'm like, just don't use a fucking straw.
Straw, yeah.
Like, if you made a smoothie at home, you wouldn't use a straw, would you?
No,
you
chug it.
Yeah.
But then, glug glug.
A lot of these, like, your smoothie bottles and stuff have the sort of like the automatic straw built into them, if you know what I mean. Like, they've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a reusable straw, basically.
It's kind of, although the problem with a lot of plastic bottles is they can't be recycled into plastic bottles. They're only downcycled so that they're melted down. Mm-hmm. Whereas with glass bottles, you can just reuse them.
Keep reusing them, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that thing with plastic, is that, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to have a lot of plastic guilt in that you look around and you just can't get away from it, yet everybody's telling you how bad it is, but it's absolutely everywhere. It dominates almost every part of, you know, of our life. And, you know, like, coming down to your packaging, there's just so many different types of packaging that have, you know, plastic in it, or plastic on it, plastic around it. It's just, how do you even begin to look at replacing that? Are there better options, or is plastic the best option for, you know, for storing and whatnot? You know, how do we get around it?
See, that's a fair point, because they're going about, like the, obviously you've got the use of glass, but plastic was brought in as a kind of cheaper alternative and they said at the time a slightly more environmentally friendly version of glass. It was essentially there to do the job that was already doing, but with saving time, effort, money, and energy. So now they're sort of saying, ah, shit, we might have fucked up a little bit. But there are kind of other options, because they're making, like, plastic-style materials out of different plants and vegetation, because they're doing it for plastic carrier bags, where they're kind of saying, well, they're not even plastic anymore, they're these ones that are kind of compostable and all this sort of stuff. They'll break down over a number of years. So that's one option, and certainly over in Europe they're using those far, like, over in the continent, using them far more than we are over here. But I mean, that's one good option that I've found in the past for getting rid of plastic is fire. Burns plastic really well.
Again, there's the environmental cost with that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Dave spent our honeymoon getting high off of burning plastic bags in a fire. It was awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so romantic.
I believe it entirely. One of the interesting things I was hearing, though, was like about how people get absolutely like caught up in the idea of plastics being used again everywhere and in every part of life, and like why when you go to the supermarket, there's the example that was used was cucumbers. Cucumbers are wrapped in plastic. Why are they being wrapped
in plastic?
Oh,
we also had cucumbers on our honeymoon as well.
I bet you did. Oh my God. But yeah, it's about how they're wrapped in plastic, and then people are like, well, why are you wrapping that in plastic? And other bits of fruit and veg that have this like thin plastic wrap around them. But it comes down to a factor of something like a cucumber, which is energy intensive, like fruit or veg to grow, whatever you want to call it, because it basically the amount of water and amount of area and land and all that it takes, and sunlight and whatnot, it takes a lot of energy to grow a cucumber. So once you've got it, if you were just to ship it to the shops as it was, it has a shelf life of about 3 days. Wrapping it in a bit of plastic, which has a much lower energy cost compared to the cucumber, actually expands its life to 14 days. So the energy weigh off of the bit plastic actually is, you know, it's nothing compared to the actual amount of energy it's, you know, taken to make the cucumber itself.
But the other side of that is the energy of recycling the plastic. And if it's not recycled, of it ending up wherever.
Yeah.
Causing problems. I think another solution to that would be to make supermarkets buy almost all fruit and veg which is produced, and not just buy the best looking ones. And then you'd have a higher amount of fruit and veg coming through.
Yeah.
And incentives absolutely to cut waste. And then I remember years ago, I tried to find out the carbon footprint of a recycling plant, and I couldn't. Could find it anywhere, probably because it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
But, like, recycling's good, but reuse, recycle. What's the first one? Like, use
reduce.
Less of it. Reduce, thank you. That was good. it's more of a reducing, which is the main thing you're meant to do. And then reuse. And all we've been focusing on so far is for recycle.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing it backwards.
Yeah.
That's why.
No, definitely. And it's part of the whole problem, isn't it? I think we have such a sort of like emphasis on recycle, recycle, recycle. But then you hear stories like where both paper and plastic recycling, we're about to hit a problem because China stopped taking it and we're sending a lot of it out to China.
And see, that's like mental as well.
Yeah.
Because the fact that like Britain has this kind of stiff upper lip, fuck me, I'm struggling today. They've got an attitude where they look down on things, right? And it's even when it comes to supermarkets and everything like that, everything needs to be in a certain order. Everything needs to look quite uniform and you've got green peppers that look identical to one another and all this sort of stuff. You go across to Italy, France, wherever else, you go into their supermarkets across there and they've just got like, yeah, we grew these and we picked them all and now they're all in here, apart from the ones that turned black and smelled funny. They're not here. Don't worry about them. They're next door. So it's kind of, they do it in a way where there's a, well, not zero waste, certainly, but certainly a lot less waste.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to over here, you get everything in that, with everything being uniform, with everything being acceptable and everything being the same length, girth, Jamie, everything else like that, it kind of cuts down to the point where you just end up with this like overpriced, ridiculous amount of money for each bit of food. No one buys it and it all goes to waste. And it's just that, along with the plastic waste, along with everything else as well, is all from this kind of attitude that we want everything to be perfect because we are Britain and everything's perfect here when it's not.
Yeah.
So it's just, they just need to get used to the fact that food is food and people used to fucking, still do, dig stuff out the ground and eat it.
Yeah.
Live with it. Fuck it. It's fine.
Yeah. It is that weird thing, but I do always wonder how much of it. So, you know, there's a lot of this thing where it's like we have these supermarkets giving us all this fruit and veg, which is uniform and identical, and all the oddly shaping stuff's just getting chucked, or, you know, it goes into industry for things like soup and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, they say that that's because, like, obviously the market forces, the people buying it, you know, the consumer wants it. But then is it not then going to a cycle, you know, cyclical thing where people receive that, so then, like, the next generation, say, come along and expect those, you know, like, vegetables, like a carrot, to be straight and so big, and, you know, yeah, it's like, and then it just sort of does that. So do the supermarkets help that in any way? Because it's, they continue that expectation.
It's even down to things like shelves, like stacking shelves, because I saw studies of the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense, believe me. And you know, the USSR did tons of terrible, awful things. But one of the things you often heard about was, oh, they had bare shelves and stuff like that. Forgetting there were bread lines in Britain at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, even after that, people were like, oh, they have bare shelves. But actually, it turned out, economists did a study of it, and what it turned out was that they were stacking their shelves in the most efficient way, so that they were trying to stack to demand, whereas supermarkets over thing to demand because people like the look of it better, and people buy more stuff when there's more stuff on offer as well. Like, more visually, it's a known thing. So it's kind of like, even the way that supermarkets run is completely inefficient, and that's one of the reasons they have so much food waste.
Yeah. It's all mad. It is one of these things where it's so difficult to do anything about as a single consumer as well, because you need masses of people to change something like that.
Yeah.
Quite often, like, even if you get, you know, a handful, it's still not enough. It needs to be the overwhelming majority to, you know, to change their habits before things do change.
But that's the thing. That's why it's never going to come about through that, because there's a lot of stuff that's like, oh, change your own individual habits, and that might make you feel good, but it does next to nothing for the impact overall. It's changes in the production process and the distribution process that need to happen, and that can only be done on a large scale.
Yeah.
And even asking loads of people to stop doing something on a large scale won't necessarily fix it, because they'll probably do it for a year or two at the most, and then they'll change back.
And then head back there, yeah.
But there does seem to be some, like, the things that are announced, there seems to be a move in Europe in general against single-use plastics, which is good. So,
yeah,
like, I mean, at the governmental level. So, yeah.
But then that's it. Is that where we need the government to step in and actually just say, these things are bad, let's get rid of them? And that's when you start to make the societal change, because then, yes, you're forcing them, but then it does also force people to think about it maybe a bit more.
Yeah, either that or you bring in incentives like the plastic bag thing is cut. Plastic bag used by, what, like 80 or 90% or something?
Oh, totally. I mean, you can see it when you walk into a store, especially up here. I mean, you walk into a supermarket and there's so many folk now who will walk out with the three or four things that they maybe lifted, where once upon a time you would have just chucked them in a bag and taken a bag, even though you were just going to your car and it was just outside for four or five items that you can carry. You know.
See, I wish that had been the case for me as well, but I'm now sat looking underneath my kitchen sink. I've got about 15 grand worth of plastic carrier bags under there. Every time we go, we forget. So yeah, it's changing your individual habits, but because I'm still not used to that yet, I still keep fucking up. Yeah. So,
I mean, I know we're been bad at it. We're getting better at it about taking bags. I mean, I now try and take one with me in my rucksack when I head to work in case I need to go into Tesco at the end of the day. But every now and then I don't have one there. So, you know, there's still a build-up of plastic bags. However, saying that, we did have a thing full of, like, your cheap thin bags, which we're using for, like, bin bags and stuff around the house. It's now empty. There's none of those left because we don't get those cheap bags anymore. It's all the bag for lives. So, yeah. And those bag for lives are more durable and you can use them multiple times. So, maybe it is changing things. Don't know.
Oh, should we wrap this up, boys?
Wow, I didn't even see that. cellophane? No, I'm not going to
Shout
go there.
You're clinging on too hard for that one, Carl.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Damn it, you got that pun. Well, yeah, let's bring that to a close. Would we maybe want to take a little adventure to our Nonagon?
Yeah, fancy we trip to Nonagon, why not?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on back to our specially constructed, imaginary, nine-sided Nona Supermarket!
Welcome to Dale's Supermarket! The only supermarket that actually gives you money! Shop smart and shop fast because there's £5,000 to be won! Fill those trolleys because shopping has never been so much fun! Yes, there's prizes in store and much, much more when you play Dale's Supermarket Sweep!
That's right, Fife fans. This week we had some sad news that British daytime TV legend Dale Winton has passed away yesterday, and at a very young 62. And of course, the show that probably made him most famous was Supermarket Sweep. So as a tribute this week, we're doing Fantasy Supermarket Sweep Fight Club. Try saying that five times fast. So we haven't built a nine-sided supermarket because, you know, it's imaginary. So just imagine it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, just before I do go on any further, sad news. Oh, okay.
What's that? What about Dale Winton?
Yeah, sad news about Dale Winton.
I thought you were going to go on and give us more sad news. I'm already like reeling from the fact that Winton's gone. You know what I mean?
It's like a moment of silence. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Just like, yeah, that's our version of a minute silence. It lasts for 3 seconds. No, and it's...
It might be interrupted by an ice cream van in my street as well. So.
That is our version of a minute silence right there. Aye. Yeah. No, yeah, it's sad news. Like, I remember Supermarket Sweep quite fondly from my days of being at primary school and having days off sick and thinking, that guy's mahogany.
The mahogany lot did like to own daytime television, didn't they? There was him, what? David Dickinson. Who else was there? A few of them, anyway. But yeah, he total sort of staple of that sort of daytime television thing. You know.
Yeah, I always put him together with This Morning in my head.
Yeah.
Like This Morning. Sort of, you know,
GMTV.
Yeah,
I think that would normally be about how it would go. It would be GMTV Supermarket Sweep then This Morning. You know, that
yeah,
sort
probably,
of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, it kind of a bit surprising. The last person I expected to see having passed away, but don't know reasons why. There's something saying that he maybe just wasn't particularly happy, but then it could be anything. So I don't really know yet. But yeah.
Do you know what as well? He was like one of the few... I mean, I'm sure he was out when I was younger. Maybe he wasn't, but like, I think everybody, he was one of a few gay men on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was younger, it was like him and Julian Cleary were like the biggest in the UK that I can think of.
And then.
Well, he didn't actually come out until he was 47. I saw that earlier on today. And it was that was 15 years ago? Because I think he was 62 when he died.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it was only 15 years ago he finally came out. And I remember being a kid and thinking, like, what? I think it's probably the suits more than anything else, right enough. And it was the 90s, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took him that long to finally come out. It was mad. So, yeah, fair play to the man. Like, yeah. I was quite a fan of Dale Winton. He was all right.
Yeah, no, totally. And again, he was never like particularly offensive. He was that sort of darling of the sort of old folks home, basically, you know, daytime TV superstar. Every granny loved him. Every
Butland's red coat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of sums him up quite well, actually. sort of, yeah, the pure side entertainer, that kind of level of I've lost my train of thought.
Dale fucking Winton.
Yeah. And yeah, obviously, as we are such big fans of Supermarket Sweep, we thought we would change up the Fight Club this week a little bit. So,
yeah. Have a fight in the supermarket.
Pretty much. The rules, if you are not familiar with them, is to get round the supermarket in 4 minutes and to fill one trolley with as much value as you can. And there are penalties for dropped items too. We will be making a handful of game show hosts run the gauntlet of the supermarket today and discuss what strategies they will use. So, who wants to chuck in the first contender?
Well, I've gone for a big hitter, right? Now, I thought I could hear the curious tone of the cornet, clarinet and big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, a flute and euphonium, each one making the most of his chance all together in the floral dance. I've gone for Terry Wogan.
Oh, wow.
That's it. He was a one-time presenter of Blankety Blankety. He was That's presenter of Wogan's true. Perfect Recall as well.
Yeah.
Terry Wogan was a fucking hero.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. He was.
I'm on BBC Two now.
Telling Terry Wogan now.
Yeah, Terry Wogan, wow. He is dead as well.
He is.
But he went.
This is the most. That's accurate, if anything. Look at that.
He went in 2016, didn't he? He went in the year when everybody went.
31st of January 2016, he was one of the first ones, like, gutted.
Oh, sad days. So, how have you gotten to the supermarket?
Well, I mean, the thing is that I've kind of summoned him along as a one-off, if you like. I told him Eurovision Song Contest was happening, and it was a callback for him to get in there and just insult everyone as much as he possibly can, because that's what he used to do. He was the king of smack talk. So... That's it. When it came to things, he would rile people up before they even got into the Nonagon supermarket, whatever we're in.
So what do you think his strategy would be? Because, I mean, you've obviously got a couple of different things looking at, you know, going around the supermarket. I mean, the question also is do we have electrical goods?
What, so that they can, like, put each other's hair in, like, the whisker and things like that.
Food wow.
processor. Rip their hair off.
You're going Battle Royale style, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I just thought we had, like, massive inflatable bananas and inflatable mobile phones and surfboards.
with special prizes on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
800 tins of beans.
Manager special and all that nonsense. Well, I mean, what I was thinking, because, you know, the aim of the game was to fill your basket with not as many items, but with as much value as you could. So, you know, try and have the basket with as much money in it, essentially, that you've spent. It really is actually the height of consumerism, that show, isn't it? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are we going to penalise them for single-use plastic items? We were on about that.
Get those cotton buds to fuck, Delia.
But yeah, would you, you know, if it was you, would you go for lots of small, like tons and tons of small lower-priced items, or would you go for sort of fewer, larger, bigger priced items, like more expensive items?
I'd be straight to the fish aisle. I would stack my fucking trolley high with king prawns and tiger prawns, have it absolutely stinking under those studio heat lights, and just fucking wheel it back and be like, there we are, $7,000 worth of prawns, please, mate. That's perfect. Who doesn't want that?
See, I was thinking more like I would head for maybe something like the maple syrup and the agave honey as well, because, you know, that stuff is just costs a bomb. It's like £18 for a jar, and your maple syrup as well is like £7 for a jar of maple syrup. So
you could go to the American food section where everything costs £10 and isn't actually made of food.
And is the size of like an Oreo biscuit, basically.
Yep. Yeah. Worth it.
No, that's so what do we think Wogan would do in that situation?
Wogan smash.
Well, I thought we were gonna have a Royal Rumble style situation where everyone's fighting at once.
Right.
In the supermarket at once, so that death becomes a real possibility to stop other people from gaining value.
Okay, then.
Fighting over the last rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
Fuck it, let's do it. That sounds fun.
All right.
Right, Jamie, who have you got as a contender?
Now, well, I thought we were doing two, so I was originally going to go with the best possible quiz show tag team. I'm going to change the slightly. So I was going to do Alexander Armstrong and Richard Osman. As a tag team, because they've got such good chemistry already, they'll know what everyone's thinking. But I'm going to swap out Armstrong for a man who's used to taking on the odds, used to taking on lots of people. That's right. It's a host of 15-1, William G. Stewart.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That is a lot of people as well. You're right. Yeah, he's able to manage that.
Yeah. And both Osman and Stewart are producers of a respective show, so they're like the power behind the throne, you know.
Fair enough. Well, Dave, who was your second choice?
My second choice was another wonderful presenter of, formerly of Blind Date, and then on to fame of Blankety Blank, Lily Savage.
Did she do Blind Date?
Yeah, she did Blind Date for, she did Blind Date for a little while. They tried to bring it back for that little bit on, like, Channel 5. It was pretty shit, to be honest. But, yeah, it was all right.
That's when they were trying to make her TV career, but she wasn't very good on TV.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
much
it.
Channel 4 gave her a show. Lots of people gave her, like, one show, but it never came to anything.
It was always the one-offs and the stand-up and stuff that always went down well with the Lily Savage character, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's because she was too offensive for daytime TV, basically.
Oh, wait a minute, Lily Savage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said Lily Allen. That's why I was completely confused. I was like, what?
Well, no, because your statement actually made sense, though.
Well, about the TV, that's what I meant. Like, she, you know, didn't know, but... Oh, fuck that. Paul O'Grady / Lily Savage had an amazing TV career.
Yeah.
Lily Allen. Paul O'Grady still does, totally.
Yeah, but there were some Lily Savage things that they tried to do, like, you know, bits and pieces that just didn't always work. It seemed to be the one-offs and stuff. However, they did do things like Blankety Blank, where I think that worked quite well, but it just didn't really run all that long. It had a couple of seasons, I think, but it was maybe a game show that had had its time. I think that was maybe the thing.
Yeah. It had gone through like two former like big name presenters, one being Terry Wogan, the other being another big name presenter whose name I can't remember. But
that's bad. Yeah.
That's gone.
Oh.
Was it Bamber Gascoigne? I don't know.
Les Dawson.
That was Les Dawson, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Ah, there you go then. Nice. You've had like two absolutely enormous names to it and two proper enormous like personalities as well. And you get Lily Savage in. It's going to be a hard act to follow. Like, I've always been quite a fan of that. And my thought with bringing in Lily Savage / Paul O'Grady is all about the fight that's within them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Paul O'Grady's got, he's got massive heart because he's had three heart attacks. He's had multiple heart surgeries. So if anyone could take one in the chin and keep going, it's him. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Well, I've got two contenders. So first, I'm going to have to just do a wee incantation. Wise from your grave. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Richard Whiteley.
steroid up.
Yeah, I brought zombie Richard Whiteley with me.
Hi, Richard.
Wow. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, king of Countdown, I think. I don't think there's really ever been anybody that's ever taken the Countdown sort of hosting title since him. They've all been a bit meh, haven't they?
Two Desis.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought I'd bring him along because he's always a little bit of a charmer and he might be able to charm his way around. Also being a zombie, that might help, help in the battle state. The other one I thought I would bring along, is somebody that's gonna probably be alright and hold his own in this supermarket fight. Yeah, he's once the nation's favourite game show host. Strike it rich, strike it lucky. That's right, it's Michael Barrymore.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Speaking of rising from graves. God damn it, Barrymore.
Don't go for a swim with that man.
That's the thing. I was a bit worried you might get stuck in the swimwear section, but, you know. There's no swimming pool. It'll be fine.
He's just looking at the inflatable Lilos with a 1,000-yard stare.
Oh, my God.
Do we have to put an allegedly in here somewhere?
Allegedly, sorry.
they're my two contenders was Richard Whiteley and Michael Barrymore. I did also consider Dave Benson Phillips because he's quite good in a scrap, I reckon, and he'll be covered in slime.
He's there for revenge.
Yeah, he's only got one thing on his mind. He's mad. If I ever saw Dave Benson Phillips, I'd just be looking everywhere for either a bucket of gunge going on my head or getting dropped into a bucket of gunge.
Gunge, yeah. Like, or one of your teachers somewhere, or a parent.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I've just realised I'm going to have to introduce a wild card into this fight.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Ainsley Harriet. Yes, it definitely was a game show.
It was. You're right. That was a game show. There was a win. You did things and you were a winner. It's not quite a panel show. So, yeah.
He's gone fucking nuts throwing red tomatoes and green peppers at people.
Is he like a barrier in the fruit and veg aisle? He's there to slow them down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Armed with a butcher's knife.
A butcher's knife.
Yeah.
I was thinking some green peppers and red tomatoes, you know, that'd be it. But if you need a butcher's knife, fair enough.
He's got that and he's wiggling hips. That's all he needs.
What's going to happen? Who do we think takes on who?
Right, well, let's see. Who have we got? We've got Barrymore, Whiteley, Savage, Wogan, Ainsley, Harriet. Who are the other two?
Osmond and what's his name? The guy, William, what's his name, who did 15 to 1? Is they all forgotten?
Yeah.
William Stewart, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like double-barreled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I always remember him from being like, I mean, 15 to 1 was originally when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always remember him being roughly 158 years old. So at the moment, we need to watch out for wet floors in a supermarket because his hip might go really easily.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
I think he's gone. He's wiped out straight away.
Did Sandy Tosvig not take over on 15 to 1?
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if he does fall and breaks a hip or dies, then maybe he comes back as Sandy Tosvig.
Hmm. What?
Like a being?
Yeah, like
reincarnation.
In like form of Lily Savage.
That's if Lily goes down, she reincarnates as
Paul O'Grady.
Yeah.
Oh man. So she has infinite lives.
Well, I don't know about infinite, but you know, certainly there's a couple of things on the go here. Barrymore, if he goes down, I think he just dies.
I don't know, man. I think Barrymore's a sneaky fucker. I think.
Well, I think that too, but...
he's very much the UK's O.J. Simpson.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But I think Osmond will probably... He's a thinking man, so he'll stay away from danger as much as possible for at least the first few rounds, but he'll eventually overthink something and not react quick enough and get sliced, probably by Ainsley Harriet, actually, who will slice his eyes out and then stick peppers in the holes to make them sting.
He's quite tall, though, so I think he's got an advantage when it comes to getting, like, stuff from high shelves. You know, remember, part of this is also, rather than running just the gauntlet of Ainsley Harriet trying to stab you, you are trying to fill your basket as well. So, you know,
that's a good point. He's got a good reach on him, like, Barrymore.
He could just be working the top shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, say for instance, if somebody was struggling and they were reaching out for a bit of help, you could have helped them. But
he could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, he just kicks them away. And also,
instead, you'll tell them an interesting fact about how they're about to die.
And also, if he is only reaching top shelf, he could just fill his basket full of hundreds of porn mags, which are usually quite expensive.
Yeah. I just remembered that friend of the show, Neil Erskine, who has been on Pointless. And actually, Max Hall has been on Pointless.
Yeah,
well.
Our very own Max has been on Pointless.
Neil Erskine on a separate episode of Pointless said he shook his hand, and he has hands like shovels, apparently, which you're not surprised at in the least.
No, not at all. He is a massive man.
Yeah.
I think he would hold his own for quite a bit, unless if, like you say, Ainsley, because Ainsley's quite a big guy as well, isn't he?
Ainsley can't win, though. Ainsley's more an enforcer.
Right. So
he's there to fuck people up.
That's the same with Benson Phillips, I think. He's in there as well. Just like, getting ready to drop slime when when William G. Stewart's running past.
Sounds like a honeymoon. No, the big bit with Harriet, I reckon Harriet's going to be all mouth, you know what I mean? He's going to be the one out there to like shout abuse and rile folk up. And the moment that someone goes, come on then, he'll be like, oh, shit. And that's when Wogan steps in and goes, Wogan, smash. Because think about Terry Wogan. Terry Wogan was 6'2". He was a fucking big built dude as well. Like, so I reckon he's in with a chance.
Guy was an entertainer as well, like old school entertainer. So he's probably got some dancing chops. So he's probably quite got good cardio.
Aye, maybe able to be a bit sort of light on the foot as well, sort of dance around. Potential knife attacks.
Right, guys, I'm going to call this for Wogan.
You think the whole thing for Wogan?
Yeah, I think Wogan's going to wait it out, and then when everybody's a bit tired, he's going to wade in, crush a few skulls, and then spend the rest of the time using his dancing skills to do backflips, flipping over people and taking stuff and putting it in his trolley without him even being able to touch him. I'm taking Wogan. Ainsley will be trying to slash him with his knife, but he won't be able to reach him. He's doing his flips. Done.
I think it would be right, by the way. And that's the thing. See, if he's not doing flips, I think he's just stamping on skulls. Yeah, I reckon Terry Wogan had it in him to be a killer.
How much has his basket come to, and what has he filled it with?
Oh, well, the thing is, though, it doesn't matter. He could have filled it with, like, I don't know, tissues, for instance, anything. Something lightweight so he can continue prancing down the aisles, not giving a fuck about everybody else. They can get up to the counter and just go, I'm fucking Terry Wogan. And they'll be like, holy shit, it's Terry Wogan.
I think Wogan has filled his cart exclusively with canopies and the skulls of his enemies.
Maybe some heavy-soled shoes, just to make sure he can stamp on more skulls when he leaves.
I've got this image of him, like, with one of, you know, those meat mallets for, like, flattening out a steak or whatever. just like with one of those, just spinning his way through with his trolley, spinning his way through the supermarket, just smashing folk in the heads, running through.
With half a manager's special and three tins that he's managed to stick little labels on to say they're 99 pence each, because he doesn't give a fuck.
You said he's just whoopsied everything.
Yep, that's exactly what he's done. He's gone in and been like, that sandwich is reduced four times over, motherfuckers. And he's straight out.
Purposely handicapping himself because he knows he's going to win.
That's it. Just walks up to the counter and goes, Terry Wogan. In the lowest possible voice. That's his other one as well. He's got that range of bass in his voice where if he was just to make that one note, all other contenders would shit themselves. Terry Brown, note Wogan.
And he wins with the lowest value basket the show's ever seen.
Skills.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that. I think even if we were just to throw them all in the nonagon for a fight, Wogan would come out.
Yeah, absolutely. Wogan's a pound for pound best fighter in the world, regardless of rule set.
Are you sure about that?
I'm absolutely fucking certain, mate.
You sure you could throw Wogan in with, say, Lesnar, and it would be Wogan out on top?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Without my mind.
Terry Skullcrusher Wogan. No bother. He's my boy.
Well, he was.
Oh, got him.
Just to put a downer on that one.
Yeah.
Genuinely, though, what do you think would be his most expensive product in his basket?
The skulls of his enemies. I've already asked. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. I cannot get a serious answer at you at all, can I?
I don't know. I think he was always quite a well-dressed chap, wasn't he? He was always like, I reckon he'd come out with like a fine pair of bloodstained brogues, and that'd be that. He'd be like, yep, look what I got.
He looks like a brandy man to me now I think about it.
Yeah.
I bet he's gone for some brandy. Yeah.
Brandy.
Oh. Well, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, the most expensive thing that he would have taken out of there would be his shoes, because they would have the blood of seven very well-known TV celebrities all over them.
I see what you mean, as in terms of value. It's got the life source of many. Yeah,
it's got all of them and Michael Barrymore.
finally, revenge.
Why not? Eh?
Yeah. Oh dear. Well, that was an interesting trip. So Wogan's our winner. Yay.
Yay. Terry fucking Wogan.
He'll Terry you a new one.
Oh. Nah, I can't think of any more.
I've got nothing. Absolutely nothing on it.
He Wogan. Nope. Not going there.
I was going to make some sort of terrible. Oh, what are you doing, Ainsley? You can't bring a gun to this. Whoa, God, no.
No, we're trailing off now. Let's.
Yeah.
Right. I won't walk down there.
No. Don't like it.
That's fine. Carry on.
Well, I will, and say, will we bring this to a close?
Yeah. All right,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Nice, short, sharp, and on its way. But yeah, so we won't be here next week. As I say, we're going to take a week off and let me go on holiday. Then we'll be back probably the 4th of May, I reckon. We'll see what we will do then. No idea, no plans yet, but it'll probably be something shit like this.
It'll probably be something Star Wars based if it's on that day, let's be honest.
Oh, in fact, actually, there might be some movie reviews, because we'll have had a few by that point, I reckon. So yeah. We've got Avengers coming up, so that's there. You'll have a lot of interesting things to say about that if you ever see it.
I'm going to go to the cinema to go and see it just to be like, that was terrible.
And I'll come out of it like, woo! Give me more! Where can I give you my money? I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I think that does bring us to that point in the podcast where I have to ask, Dave, what is the motto this week?
The next time you're at the checkout counter and you hear the beep, 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 think of all the fun you can have on Fife Club.
Oh, I was getting ready for a supermarket sweep.
But yeah, or there.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. Actually, you know what? Before we do run away, I do want to say one quick thing. The Coal Town Daisies, our friends, are at 95% of their pledge music campaign for their new album, Listen. 95%. They are 5% away from absolutely nailing it and being able to make that album. If they don't get it in the next, like, 8 days or so, then that's it. They don't get the funds. So, if you want to hear a great Fife band, Americana, folk, that kind of thing, if you want to hear their new album, get on to www.thecoaltowndaisies.com and check it out. They have different pledges. You can get the album for about £11, I think. You can get it on digital download. You can get it CD. You can get it signed. There's other things. There's meals that they're doing, meals and a show, about £40 a head. They've got a couple of those. They've got things like handwritten lyrics coming with the album as well. All different price points. You can even just donate some money if you want to as well. You don't have to buy anything in particular. Go check it out and help them just get up to that 100%. That would be amazing. Go do it.
I think Those guys as well, it sounds like a damn fine cause. Those guys have got links to our website and stuff there as well, don't they?
Yeah, yep, definitely.
What is our website, by the way?
Oh, Jamie.
Oh, it's www.fiveclub.co.uk. Or you can email us at ked@fiveclub.co.uk. Speak to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclub. Twitter at fiveclub. Instagram, fiveclub.
Boom. All right, guys, just ask what the website was, Christ.
Yeah, but then you reminded me that we hadn't covered any of that. So, yeah, check us out, check them out. I'll have links on the website. I'll have links on Facebook. But, yeah. Go support your local band. Do it. And honestly, you won't regret it. They're brilliant. If you get a chance to go see them live, go see them live. They're playing all about Fife all the time. So yeah, do it. And I think that brings us to a close finally. So yeah.
We're very much the spiritual successor of the Singing Kettle.
I am sure they will be delighted with that as a review. But yeah, let's say goodnight. Goodnight.
Night. / daytime.
Daytime. Yeah, whatever. Afternoon. I'm just used to saying goodnight.
Good afternoon.